hold back, but God, I mean, you know, he knows what he's doing. How many knows we can limit God? I mean, I don't care what people say. They say God is sovereign. He is sovereign, but he's bound to his word. Jesus finished the work, and then we're to finish the work that Jesus started. That's what the Bible says. We're to finish the work. How many knows that Jesus knew that he could limit God? Jesus could have limited God. And Jesus knew that he could have limited God. He didn't have to go to that cross. Absolutely, he didn't want to go to that cross if you read the Bible. The Bible says when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cross pass from me. In other words, he's telling God, God, I know I've got to go to the cross. That's the destiny, Lord. But Lord, if there's any way you can do this without me going to the cross, let it be done. But he went on and said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. But did you know that Jesus could have just rejected? You know, I don't believe it was the will of God for Judas to take that money and betray Jesus. He did it, but I don't believe he was supposed to. He was chosen by the Lord. He took the temptation, and he began to limit the power of God to the point to where he hung himself. I don't believe it was God's will that Judas betrayed Jesus. Now the scripture don't tell. But you know what? I've had opportunity to be a Judas in this church. I can steal money from this church if I wanted to. Y'all are shocked at what I'm saying, ain't you? I mean, my name's on the banking account. I've been tempted. When I was broke, Johnny, when the economy in 07, 8, 9, and 10, my business went kazoom when commercial, you know, residential. But see, I had my trust in the Lord all the time, and he had prepared me for that. And I didn't know he's preparing me for it. He had prepared me for it. But you know what? I thought about it one day. I thought, well, Lord, you know, I could take a little bit, Lord, just to get the church and back and all of that, you know. And I cast those thoughts out immediately. I thought, I'm not Judas. But how many knows what would have happened? I would have begun to limit God. I would have begun to limit God. See, we can limit God through unbelief, fear, and doubt. Just like today, you know, I mean, I hear it everywhere I go because of what happened last year, the election and all of that. People are in absolute fear of their future. And we're there not to fear no matter what it looks like in the natural, because we are not natural people. We are supernatural people with a supernatural God that rolled back the Red Sea and destroyed the enemies, dried up the Jordan River, turned it into blood, rained manna down out of heaven, water out of a rock called a donkey to speak. See, we got to be rooted and grounded in love towards God. That God is able to keep what we commit to him. We've committed our life to him. And you know what? I didn't steal no money to come to church. Just to let y'all know, I've never took a dime from this church. Y'all pay me good. I don't have to steal. Y'all need to give me a raise. Praise God. But how many know promotion don't come? It don't come from man in the world. Promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? Praise God. I mean, we can limit God. We can limit God. Well, I just don't like to watch that preaching on TV. Well, you can limit God. Just go ahead and don't watch it. Well, I still got to have my country music. Well, just listen to it and then limit God. I don't really like that. The praise and worship is just boring, the praise and worship music. It's, you know, the contemporary music, it don't identify with me. No, you don't identify. You don't identify with God. It ain't the music can't touch you and move you. It ain't supposed to. You're supposed to be moved by the Lord, and then the music will minister to you. The Bible says in Proverbs, if I will acknowledge God in all of my ways, he'll direct me, right? And Travis told me one time, because he liked to listen to the country, you know, because him, Bess, and it's identifying you and make my speakers go boom, boom. Or whatever that stuff is. I hear it a little bit. I ain't listened to secular music in 25 years, so I'm kind of out of touch with it, you know, other than when I hear somebody on the job or whatever. You know, Travis told me one time, he said, Dad, he said, it's the secular, it's not sin. I said, I never have said it was, son. But see, what I realized for my life, and I'm compassionate about it, is the secular music after I got born again was trying to take me back and identify with the natural and stay identified with the natural and all of that, you know, when I needed to be identified with the new man. And I realized that secular music is going to, I'm going to limit God and what he can do in my life, hallelujah. And I needed him. I was going to commit suicide. My marriage was a wreck. I done lost it all. It meant anything to me. So you know what? None of that stuff had saved me. I mean, I know Christians that they won't even listen to praise and worship. I'm not judging them. But you know what? When all hell's breaking loose in their life, they're wondering what to do. What's going on? Where's God? All hell breaks loose in my life. It might take me a few minutes or a few hours to get adjusted right quick, but I get adjusted, then I get focused, bless God, and I ain't sitting around tearing my beer. That one's long gone, but you know, I just use it. Because a lot of Christians are singing, nobody knows the troubles I have. Oh, nobody knows. See, but I know the victories I got. Hallelujah. And I can testify, yeah, many have been the affliction of the righteous, but God has brought me out on top throughout all of them. Hallelujah. And I've seen God deliver a bunch of y'all. I mean, a bunch of us. Black God, God delivered us. I mean, praise God. And now listen to a car thief that was headed to prison. He's getting under conviction about not telling about Jesus. Don't that sound like Jesus? Sounds just like that working of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It still happens to me, Johnny. I thought, well, I won't use this trailer. I'll throw it up there and get rid of it. Just had this thought yesterday, so I got out, took pictures of it, throwed it up there, you know, in the marketplace. And I said, Lord, when you always cause this thing to happen. First, I mean, I had about 90-something responses right quick. I'm like, good God Almighty. I'm trying to cut wood, bust wood, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, well, answer one of them. You put it on there. So I answered the first one. And he said, I'll give you $50 more than you put it up on there for. And I'm like, this is Jesus. I said, come get it. I thought I didn't try to bicker with nobody. I'll give you 50 more. I said, come get it. I'm thinking, what? Has he got stupid on him? I said this, and he's telling me 50 more. Well, anyways, the first one, he came. I'm telling you this for a reason. He came. You know, he came, and he bought the trailer, and he says, how much is that going to be? Because it's a penal hitch trailer, and so he didn't have nothing to. So I sold him my hitch for $50, in other words, you know. It's got the penal hitch on it. I told him, I said, I got one, but man, I mean, I'll have to buy me another one back because it fits the rest of my trailers. I said, I'll let it go for 50. I said, I don't know if I can buy one back for that. And he said, well, okay, that's fine. He said, how much will it be? He said, well, man, there's a couple of lights busted on it. I said, it's a used trailer. I said, you had pictures. I said, that's why I put it up there like that. I said, I've got to say it in there that I was going to put on it, but I changed my mind about putting it on it because I'm going to put them on my trailer and I'm not going to let them go with me. He's a young guy. And then he said, well, would you take $580? And I said, yeah, I'll take $580. Well, anyhow, we go on and he says, hey, he said, yeah, I'm starting a business. He said, I'm telling you this for a reason. He said, yeah, I'm starting a business, a lawn business. He's a little Hispanic guy, young guy, you know. And I said, well, this will work out good for you, this trailer right here. So, because you can build racks right here and put your weed eaters and, you know, and it's low on the ground, ramps already on it, you know, and everything. And he said, I'm just going to start out this next year. He said, how did you get in your business? I said, well, I said, I got saved. But, you know, I didn't want to talk about Jesus. At that moment, I thought, well, just tell him. I started, me and my brother went in partner, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what happened. I told him I got saved. I said, well, you know, after I got saved, I said, I started having a desire to be in my own business on the inside. I said, and I told the Lord, I told him the testimony. I said, I told the Lord, Lord, you know, I'm not going to quit my job anymore. I mean, those Christians are supposed to have integrity after we get saved. We used to quit, we ain't quitting. We used to quit, we ain't quitting no more. We ain't quitting God. We ain't quitting our marriage. We ain't quitting on our kids, our grandkids, our nephews, uncles, nieces, and all of them we don't know. The Bible says those do endure to the end will be what? Saved. But anyways, you know, and I told him, he said, oh, you got saved. I said, yeah. I said, I've been in it now 26 years. I said, look, buddy, you can make it. I said, but there's one thing, you know, relying on the Lord. I said, but you got to make your mind up that you're going to be successful. I said, the opportunity's there for you. I said, you can do it if that's the route you're supposed to take. I told him, I said, I've trusted the Lord. I have to trust the Lord now. I mean, just did a job, nearly $8,000 job, and the guy just happens to be out of town that's supposed to pay the contractor that I wrote a check. I paid for him. I don't charge anymore. I come out of that a long time ago. Teresa, you can do it. You can do it. And I'm thinking, she don't know. She ain't the one having to deal with all this. How many knows you can limit God by that kind of thinking? So I go off and I thank God I can do it. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens. See, God, I was limiting God because I wouldn't believe that God was big enough to bring me to a place of equity, money in the bank, that I could write a big chunk check and it'd be mine. So anyways, it's nearly $9,000, and the guy, he texts me. He's out of town till Tuesday. I just sent him a message. I said, I'm okay, man. Don't sweat it. Have a good weekend. See you next week. Ooh, went right on my business. Well, that's because you own your own. No, it ain't because I own my own business. That business failed me a long time ago. That business failed me a long time ago. Money failed me. Banks failed me. People failed me. But I'm going to tell you, the word that I've got in my heart and that I use always brings the fruit of God. Hallelujah. When I trust God. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. See, when we're not believing, we're going to limit God. We're going to limit him. And, you know, walking by faith is not easy. That's why everybody don't do it. Just like the Lord told me one time, just through the scripture, he says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And I mean, at that time, my wife was mean. She's good now. We both work on it. She was mean to me. She thought it was me. Well, when you think it's somebody else, now, I mean, she wasn't mean. We were kids. I mean, you put Aubrey and Aiden together, and I mean, he just flies off the handle, and when he does, she has to go running. She's pretty big, and it ain't because Aiden don't love her. It's not because she don't love Aiden. It's because that's why they have parents, right? Keep justice between them. That's why we have a father, a God, that helps us come to where, but anyways, praise the Lord, you know, the Lord told me, he said, the word, I'll shut the Bible. Well, I didn't shut the Bible. I said, Lord, she'll take advantage of me. In other words, I felt like I've got to lay down and act like a little wuss, you know, and she's going to take advantage of me. But you know what? When I did do that, when I started loving my wife, and it's Christ so loved the church, I started having a passion towards her and a love deepening towards her that I'd never experienced, that I wanted her to have the best, that I didn't want to put no, I ruined her some ways, you know. She wouldn't let me, but some ways. She wants to go move rocks with her bare hands like Superwoman, and I want a tractor with a front end loader on it. Go drive the tractor, baby. What are you saying? I can't do it. I'm like, well, go move that rock. Hurry. Don't crank the tractor. Just go move it. Just go move that rock. That's stubborn. She finally got out of it. And then she's up there trying to use the tractor, dig dirt up or something, and got a mess. Took me a while to straighten it out. How many knows God's give us tools and equipment and anointing that we don't have to do it the hard way? We don't have to serve him the hard way. He's give us equipment and tools, the word, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, and abilities. Abilities to love our enemies. He puts us around our enemies to love them. I've had people come to me and apologize to me. Guy cussing me the other day because I held him accountable. You going to do what you said you'd do. I'm going to force you to. And so he's cussing me. Cussing me. And I said, don't cuss me again. I'll come to your house. Ain't very Christian like it. No, I'm serious. You know, cuss me. You can cuss me on Facebook. Cuss me here. Well, the dude did what he said, and he says, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I cussed you and blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But now, I didn't cuss him, and I didn't bust his teeth out. But you know what, praise God, I'm a man of my word. I'm going to do what I say, and I expect people around me to do what they say, and I'm not going to let that standard down because it's normal in this God-forsaken some part of the world that you just do anything you want to do, and God's all for you. No, I'm telling you, we can limit God. They limited God. They limited God in the Old Testament. They limited him in the wilderness. He brought them out with a strong hand, delivered them. I mean, they seen God's glory, and then they turned back, the Bible says in Psalm 78. They turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. And God told me one time, he said, son, he said, you started out like a ball of fire. When you got saved, you really got saved, and you went after me, and you was going to church no matter what. You fasted, and you praying. He said, now you've got a little older. This has been several years ago. Now you've come a little bit in the Lord now, and you're not as on fire as you used to be. You can limit me. And that's where I got the sermon out there and started preaching it everywhere I went. Don't limit the Lord. Don't put limits on God. The Bible says by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, but the doctor says different. Don't limit God. Well, so-and-so died with it. Don't limit God. Well, I tried that giving, and I went broke. And that's news to me. Don't let that limit God. You gave? Who'd you give to? Was God leading them? Was God telling them to give? Was Satan setting it up and robbing them? The Bible says in Romans 8 over there, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It don't say those that are led by everybody needing, or those that are led by poor old, they're just in bad shape. We need to go bail them out. That's not a means for us to give. We're led by the Spirit of God. I mean, I walked in this church this morning, and I thought I'd love to give everybody $100, Lord. Each one of them just $100, Lord. Lord, can I give him $100? I never heard nothing. You know what that means? No. Just because I want to do good don't mean God's saying do good. See, I can limit God in not obeying him, or when he's telling me not to do something. To go do it is disobedience. Right? If God's telling me not to do something, although it's good, and he's saying don't do it, I feel it on the inside, have these thoughts, just don't do it, and I go do it anyway. I know what the scripture says. It says don't be weary in well doing, you know, but if God's telling me not to and I do it, that's disobedience. Right? See, I'm talking about, I'm not getting on to, God's not getting on. He wants us knowing these things, that we don't fall in the traps of the enemy, that we hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. That way, when we cast our bread on the water, it does return back, because our steps are ordered by the Lord. He's leading us. He's prompting us on the inside. And you know what God told me after the election and all that? I'm 100% against what happened. I'm 100% against it, but I'm going to get in there, and I'm not going. But God told me, he said, it's time for you to leave the church into 2021. In other words, Johnny, it's time for me to shut up about that. It's time for me to get off of that, get off of it, and get back and get focused. We did our job. We sowed our seeds. We bleed. We fasted and we prayed and all that. Now it's time to focus on thus saith the Lord and what the Lord is saying for our life. Bless God and move on into 2021 and let the Lord just rock our world. Just let him rock our world. Hallelujah. He's been rocking my world for 26 years, and I don't think he's even thought about giving up rocking it. And then when I say rock it good, I'm talking about good. How many knows the Bible says that all good things come from the Lord? Well, we just can't let darkness rule. We can't. Listen, our God is the only help that America has. Jesus and God is the only hope America has. But you know, all through the Bible, even in times of not good leader, dictators or whatever over God's people, listen, David had to go serve under Saul. Saul tried to kill David, jealous of him. But God sent David under an ungodly leader, an ungodly king to serve. Hallelujah. Y'all are quiet. I can serve under an ungodly man. Don't mean I have to agree with him. Don't mean I'm going to go to his house and eat from his table. But I can submit and I can serve. I can do all things, right? See, let's just don't use that when it's convenient to us. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, not when everything's convenient. Let's use that in the inconvenient things. Let's use that thing and build ourselves in the that we don't limit God. See, Doris, me and her used to hate the ground each one of us walked on. It's because I tried to take her baby and, you know, Teresa. I mean, I met her when she was 12, 13. 13 years old. She's a baby. Well, you let some little punk come up and try to take Aubrey at 13. He's going to have more than Doris give me. Aubrey's my granddaughter. You know, 13, you ain't getting her. You ain't even coming to the house. You ain't even supposed to be dating. Not going to happen. But anyways, you know, I mean, it was not good. But me and my mother-in-law now has got one of the best relationships that I could have as far as mother-in-law's concerned. I believe that. And if God can do, you know what happened? We both stopped limiting God. We started giving our heart to the Lord Jesus. We started receiving and giving forgiveness and letting. See, some people say you can forgive, but you can't never forget. That's a lie, too. We have the ability in Jesus to have a new mindset. We can have our mind washed. Yes, we can. See, the devil, I'm not going to limit God by the saying of some people's experience. I'm going to stay with that Bible. You know, Jesus, give me that Matthew 4, I think. where it's got the two foundations. I think it's Matthew 4, I think. Yeah, that's it. Therefore, whosoever heareth, this is Jesus now in red letters. Let me know he's talking to whoever hears him. Whoever will hear him. He said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine, but you got to do something with it. See, whenever I read that husband, and y'all wives are supposed to submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, as you do the Lord, as you serve the Lord, you know. I told Teresa one time, I said, call me master. She said, I'm not calling you master. Because Sarah called Abraham master in the Bible. You know her husband? So I told her, she did call me master one time. I said, don't say that. I'm not master. I was just going on with it. But you know, I had to start utilizing the scripture where it says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I had to start using that. It didn't work for me until it. I knew it, and that's what Jesus said. He said, here's these sayings of mine. You read the Bible. You hear preaching. You know them. He said, these that hears it and then does it. There's a difference. There's just a big difference. I will liken him to a wise man. How many knows a wise man will hear the word? And if it takes me 5 years to get it integrated into my heart, do it. Whether it's on giving, forgiving my enemies, repenting, telling the Lord I'm sorry, you know, treating my wife with great respect. And you know, she don't have to do nothing to deserve that. I can treat her with respect if she is a slob. Come on, somebody. I determine my destiny by my believing God and utilizing. People says, well, you know, I heard it back yonder. Blunt overhead door will go under. It'll go under. It's been standing for over 20 years. But you know, I heard that. And it looked like it in the natural. And I thought, man, I can't make it. I mean, I had to go back down to nothing. And now I'm having to pay other bills that I didn't have before. You know, and all of that. And it brought great financial hardship and stress on me at that period of time. I was running 5 trucks, not having to do anything but run and check and pick up checks and different things like that, and running 5 trucks, getting the jobs, going and checking them, going and making sure they're on the jobs and got what they do, down to didn't have no hands and having to turn every boat myself. Had to go back down to a little old 4-cylinder S10 that I couldn't get over 40 miles an hour going to Jasper. It was sickening. Those were God's ideas. He told me to split with my brother. He told me what to do. And I said, God, he's going to take Weston overhead door. And it was grossing over $500,000 and growing. I said, he's going to take it. The Lord didn't say nothing. He said, give him a choice. And I'm hoping. You can say cross your fingers all you want. That garbage don't work. Cross your fingers and hope for the best. Now, you better be praying and believing God. Standing on God's word. Well, it went in an area of unfavorable to me. Unfavorable to me. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. But you know what I did? I didn't listen to blunt overhead door ain't going to make it and all that stuff. I thought, greater is he that is with me and in me than he that is against me. If God be for me, who can be against me? And I started rehearsing those things, and I didn't go to name blaming and downing people. I focused in on the Lord, black God, and I said, God, you did it once, you'll do it again, Lord. You raised that business up from nothing, Lord, to $500,000 in 3 years. Lord, you can do it again. You're the same God that I trusted in to start with to make it happen. And you know what, blessed God, I ain't went under yet. You ain't going under. We in the ship with Jesus. But he said that he would like him to a which built his house upon a rock. You know, I've built both ways. I've just went and throwed stuff up, you know, and out of square and out of level. And, you know, I went over there one day and I thought, well, I'm gonna set me up. I'm building me a barn over there on that land. And I thought, well, I'll go over, I'm going to set them posts. I'll just set the post, you know, and get started, do a few of them at a time. I go over there, I drill the holes and everything, and I had this thought. Go down there and then get you a couple of bags of Quikrete. And I thought, nah, I'll just pack them in good. I'll just pack the dirt in around them real good, good churdy dirt. And I spent about 3 or 4 hours setting posts up there, Johnny. And I put them pretty deep. And I packed them babies in to where I couldn't hardly move them with my hand, just kept packing and packing and packing. And you know what? It wasn't just a couple of days. About 2.5, 3-day rain come. And the wind started blowing. And I went up there, and every one of them posts that I worked 4 hours on was out of the ground, laying down. It just saturated in the pressure, top pressure. And all. But you know what? If I had went ahead and put some concrete in there, they wouldn't nothing move that. Not the rain, not nothing else, see? See, I didn't dig down and build that. See, and that's what he's talking about, building upon the rock. One translation says, the man went and dug deep. You know what that means? That means he gets the unforgiveness out of his heart. Now, we're talking about building on God's word. He that hears these sayings of mine, he's talking about the word, is like a man that built his house on a rock. Well, you're the house. How many knows we're the house? We're the house of God. We're the temple of God. We're the dwelling place for God. Go on, give me the rest of it. We got to close. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the rock of our salvation, the Bible says. He is the chief cornerstone. You know, and yes, I'm born again. But the scripture says for me and you to leave the elementary doctrines of the cross, of getting saved, and go on into perfection. Build our house. See, for the most part, ever since I've become a Christian, I've tried to make decisions at my home and business based on the Bible. And building my house on the rock. Building my trust on the rock. You know, I went to church, and my pastor was ministering on witchcraft. You know, witchcraft is, you know, the spirit behind drugs and, you know, abuse. You can get prescription drugs, you know, prescription painkillers and all that. Nothing wrong with it if you need it. But when the prescription says take 3 tablets once a day or whatever, and you're taking 6, now you're letting in spirits get involved, demonic spirits get involved. You're allowing them to get involved in your life. You know, drugs, all that spirit. But, you know, he's on all of that. But he come down to this. He said, you know, he said, you believe in God for a washer? You know, you're believing God for a washer. He said, and you go and you find somebody that you think might have a washer. He said, and you tell them. He said, you can even tell them, well, I'm believing in Jesus' name for a washer. He said, but you're telling them because you know that they have the ability to help you. He said, that is witchcraft. You listen, when we operate in witchcraft, we limit God. We limit him. And most of the time, that witchcraft stuff gets you not God's stuff, and then people ain't moved by the Holy Spirit, so they don't yield. They're not moved and prompted by the Lord. So we got to watch this, but you know, we believe in God and let everybody know, nothing wrong now. I mean, if the motivation is God and God's telling you and blah, 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 all that, you really know it's God, but you got to watch that. You got to watch that because you can limit the Holy One of Israel. You're not building yourself on the rock. And I'm telling you, the floods will come. They will come in your life. The winds will blow. Things change. And if you are not really rooted and grounded in truth and God's word and God's anointing and God's Holy Spirit, those trials will take you down. They will cause you to suffer defeat and lack, hallelujah. But that's not God's purpose. He goes on. Give me that rest of that. Give me that. I'll just show you what he said. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and don't do them. How many knows you can hear and don't do it? I know to love my enemies, but I'm telling you, Brother Scotty, you just don't. If I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times, that excuse not to forgive. You just don't really know what they did to me. I said, look what they did to Jesus. I said, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. I said, it's not easy to forgive. I said, or everybody would do it. I said, and Satan gives us reasons why, how bad they done and what they done and what it cost us to get us to hold on to unforgiveness and to hold on to that disobedience. Unforgiveness will cause you to disobey God every time. Fear will cause you to disobey God every time. Fear is your enemy. And it'll cause you to disobey God. See, if you believe that God can't do and ain't going to show up and deliver you, you'll get into fear and you'll try to save yourself and you will go under. I mean, knows that God's smarter than we are. He's smart, man. He's on top of it. He said, and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. See, I gave the reference a while ago. I put that in sand, those posts. It spent 4 hours up there. I wasted my time. If I'd have put some concrete, I would have been building it on more solid foundation. And there's no other solid foundation than God's Word to base your life on God's Word. Scotty, I just don't understand how to do that. Fast and pray. I don't know how to tell you because I don't know how you're geared. I don't know the message you've got in your life. I don't know the arena of people you've got in your life. I don't know the arena of people God wants to bring into your life. Listen, I was a racist to the core. I was raised racist. Think some of y'all couldn't even sit in this place. Wouldn't want to be here if I had not have got saved and yielded myself to God. Hallelujah. You know, I would have hated myself because I found out later on, got thinking about it, I'm not a white man either. I'm an Indian. I got a lot of Indian in me. I might have been born in Blount County, but my heritage is all the way over yonder, Irish and stuff. They don't tell them what I really am. But you know, I mean, listen, see, the place God was wanting to take me, where it's worldwide now, he couldn't do it, Johnny. He couldn't do it if I didn't like black people and white people and Indians and fat. I like all y'all fat people. Skinny. I like all y'all skinny people, in between people. You know, I mean, some of you got beards. Some of you keep it for 6 months, shave it off. Good Lord, you come in, I'm like, who are y'all? What happened to y'all? You know, you got to like a variety. Some of your hair, you don't even know what color it really is. It's been so long since you let it grow normal. You've had it black and purple and pink and orange and blue and yellow and thinking about zebra color. I'm not going to pull my shoe off because it's be kind of embarrassing, but I've got rainbow toenails. Aubrey done painted Pawpaw's toenails on the left foot, buddy. I've got purple, and it's, I think she used good stuff. It's not come off yet. So I've got toenails painted on one, and she's waiting on Tuesday night to get the other one. And she looked at me and with them little pretty eyes, Mac, and she said, "Papa," I said, "Yes, baby." And she said, "I'm gonna paint your fingernails." I said, "No, you're not. I'm telling you right now, cut that off. You are not painting Papa's fingernails. No." That Papa, I said, "Don't bet Papa. You're not going to talk me into it." See, there's just some things we can be lenient in, then some things we ain't going to have, right? Hallelujah. No. Grandma gets on to her about me. "You ain't getting no makeup, girl. No makeup." She's 6, Mac. No makeup. She came out there the other day and she said, "Papa, don't tell Grandma. Can I tell you something?" She done went and told Grandma when she does this to me. Don't tell Grandma. "Okay, baby, just tell Papa. Papa, I've got on baby makeup." I looked at her and I said, I don't see none. I said, she said, it's not grown-up makeup, Papa. It's baby makeup. I said, it's makeup. Are you going to tell Grandma? She said, actually, I didn't tell Grandma. And I said, well, why did you tell me not to tell Grandma? Well, it's a secret. She's funny, ain't she? Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Praise God. Listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's coming, Sandy. I'm telling you, it's coming by the Spirit of God. You know, y'all just going to fall out laughing. What's wrong with them? They're not crazy. They're drunk or something. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He is your hope. He's the rock. He's the captain of your salvation. How many knows the ship's done sailed, and he's a good captain? He makes sure there's plenty of ropes, anchors, all the stuff that we need for the journey that we're on. Just like when the storm come up and he was in the hinder part of that ship, praise God, and he wasn't concerned. Jesus knew that storm was coming. Jesus knew that storm was there. The disciples had to learn, and he had to teach them, praise God. He got on to them and said, where was y'all's faith? Why did you fear? Why didn't you rebuke it? I done told y'all. I've been with you. Hallelujah. And you know what, praise God? That's what we've got to learn to do, is utilize what we hear, what we read, what God speaks to our hearts, and use it in unfavorable times, and we will see the Holy Spirit move and demonstrate God's power. If I've seen it once, I've seen it a million times. This is the year for the local church, our church, this church. We've labored for 20 years. We've been here. We've not quit. We're not going to quit. And we have a vision that is beyond this. People, they'll ask me and they'll say, how is your little church? And I'll say, what little church? And then I've heard people say, well, that brother Scotty, I reckon he can't count. He won't admit he's only got a little church. Well, you know, my body's attacked with sickness at different times. I'm not going to lay down and say, well, I'm sick, and that's just the way it is. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Same thing. Or God works in mysterious ways. Don't eat that doctrine. I don't know where that garbage come from. God's not a mysterious God. Now, the Bible says that his thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are higher, but it don't say he's a mysterious, weird God. The people on this planet's weird and work in mysterious ways, but not God. You can bank on him. But God, he'll roll back that Red Sea. He'll bring water out of a rock, man. He'll raise the dead. And you know, the Bible said we're supposed to be, he says, these signs will follow them that believe. We're supposed to have signs in our life, hallelujah, following us, casting out devils, casting out COVID. Somebody called me, well, we got tested for COVID. We didn't know whether we ought to go to church or not. I said, stay home. You ain't sure? Stay home. You know why? I'm not scared of COVID. They tell you when you're tested to do what? Quarantine. Right? Got to obey them. Chris told me I don't. Told her I didn't get tested. You did. I didn't get tested because I ain't staying home. I get tested, I got to do it. I asked the Lord, do I need to get tested? He never said nothing. I thought, I know what that means. No, I don't have to. Just whip it like I do everything else. Well, if I had it, I'd come right on through it. Black God, here I am. I'm healed. Hallelujah. If there's any effects, I'll recover. You'll recover. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Don't limit the Lord. Don't limit him. Don't limit him in your thinking. Don't limit him in your asking him. The Bible says we can ask anything in his name and he'll do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.